and welcome to What's New at LGRU, the Local Government Information Unit. We are a non-partisan, non-profit organisation for local government and anyone with an interest in local democracy. I'm Freya, one of your co-hosts for today.
And I'm Simone, your other host. This podcast is just one of the many ways we tell you what's happening in the world of local government and what our team at LGRU is working on at the moment. So Freya, tell us what is new at LGRU.
So this week, we have been gearing up for local elections. As you may know already, 2024 marks the biggest year of elections on record worldwide, and so at LGRU, we're a big advocate for not forgetting the importance of local elections amongst all this democratic goodness.
So what this means for our audience in England is that we have just released our highly anticipated Ones to Watch guide. This guide is so insightful. It's perfect reading material for the local election nerds like us. And you can find out exactly where the big contest will be on May 2nd.
Fun fact, every single person in England who is eligible will have the opportunity to vote this May because there are just so many different types of elections happening at the same time.
And joining us on the podcast to tell us more about the importance of local elections and some of those key areas of contention that have been identified in LGRU's Ones to Watch guide is Dr. Andrew Walker from the Local Democracy Research Center. Welcome back, Andrew.
Welcome.
Hello, it's good to be back so soon.
I know, it's so good to have you.
So, Andrew, I'm going to dive right in and I'm going to ask you a hard question. I'm going to ask you to identify the top three contests that we should all be looking out for in this upcoming election in May.
Well, our Ones to Watch guide, which you just mentioned, is actually packed. There are lots and lots of contests to watch, and partly that's because of the way that politics is at the moment and some of the shifts that are going on. It's also because actually in some areas there are boundary changes and which are creating sort of interesting dynamics. So there are lots of councils that we have identified where the Conservatives currently run or are the biggest party and so, you know, lead in a sort of no overall control arrangement where there's a possibility of some change. And so we recommend watching places like Redditch and Rugby in the West Midlands. In the South East, we recommend looking at places like Thurrock and Harlow and Basildon. I mean, Basildon is one of those councils that does switch back and forth between Labour and the Conservatives fairly regularly. Thurrock is an area which has had a lot of attention on it in the sort of recent past. And so these areas, I think, are quite likely to see some change. In other parts of the country, with, you know, the southwest, Dorset and Gloucester, where the Conservatives have fairly slim majority, so there's a chance of some changes there. Elsewhere, though, we're seeing the Liberal Democrats in the running, possibly to take full control of North Hertfordshire, which is an area where the whole council is up for election following boundary changes. So the Liberal Democrats currently run that council in a coalition with Labour, but we may see that shift and we may see the Liberal Democrats taking the leadership there. We're also going to be watching Wokingham, where the Liberal Democrats could take full control in a majority for the first time since the mid-90s. Boundary changes, again, will be affecting areas that where Labour could take control, like Dudley. All seats are up for election rather than just thirds, which we usually see. And so this gives the Labour Party an opportunity to take full control there. So there's a lot going on. There are lots and lots of other contests that we recommend looking at. You know, the Green Party and the running in areas like Bristol and Stroud and so on. And there's always independents and residents associations across the country, areas like Runnymede and Tandridge and so on. So do take a look at the One to Watch guide. There is lots and lots of interesting stuff there. And it does go into a lot of fine detail and looks at all the contests that we think could see changes. So have a look.
It really is all to play for, isn't it, this year? And then what I sort of mentioned before about the fact that everyone's eligible to vote, even if there's not a local council election, do you want to touch on a bit about what those elections are and sort of what that might mean for people who can vote, say in the Police and Crime Commissioner or the Combined Authority Mayor elections?
Yeah, so as you say, there are lots of different kinds of elections. So council elections, where people can vote for their local councillor. But we also have Police and Crime Commissioners, who were introduced just over 10 years ago as an elected person who would work with police and who would have sort of powers over local criminal justice. And so they cover all parts of the country. And so people can turn out and vote for those. We also have, as you've mentioned, the mayoral leaders of combined authorities. So combined authorities like the Greater Manchester Combined Authority, West Midlands, the North East, Tees Valley. I won't list them all, but there are several, and, you know, a huge portion of the country lives in an area where there is a combined authority, often with a mayor, not always with a mayor, You can go out and vote for the person that leads that combined authority, and they have all sorts of powers over, you know, convening and coordinating things like housing and transport and so on. And so there's actually lots of really interesting stuff going on in combined authority contests. We may see some shifts take place. Some contests are much easier to predict than others. But yeah, that's a really important, relatively new aspect of local democracy in England anyway, that people can go and get involved in.
Yeah, and I don't want to make both of you jealous, but I'm actually able to vote for 3 different elections this year.
Wow!
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Because of all these overlaps with the Police and Crime Commissioner, Combined Authority and local elections. So, yeah, excited.
Lucky.
Super interesting.
Well, there's also one that I forgot to mention, which is the London Assembly. So people in London will be voting for the Mayor of London. At the moment, that's Sadiq Khan. But there is also the London Assembly. And so people from London vote for the parties that they want to see represented in the London Assembly. That's a sort of council that works with the mayor across Greater London, distinct from the London boroughs, the 32 London boroughs, but it works with the mayor and coordinates various things across Greater London.
So interesting. Love it. So talking about local elections more generally, it's fair to say that turnout is a bit of a problem in many countries. What do you think could be done to try to improve participation in local elections, Andrew?
Well, this is an interesting question because I think it is a real issue, and it's something that we highlighted in our LGIU at 40 research last year, that we really need to find ways of boosting participation, partly because it's better for a healthy democracy if people get involved and are engaged and aware in what's going on with their local council. But it also helps to make better decisions, to make more informed decisions, to provide services that are more tailored towards what people need in the local area, to help people see the things that they want to see in their local places, to raise issues with councillors and so on. So it's really, really important. But how we do that is, I think, quite tricky. One of the things to look at is the sort of information and awareness that people have of their local council. I think there's a really big piece of work to do across local government, you know, making people more aware, making data more available, making information about the elections more available. We know, for example, that lots and lots of the contests for local councillors are actually quite often quite close and often quite tight, and majorities can be quite slim. I think if people were perhaps more aware that their vote could actually make quite a big difference, that it could different person getting elected as a councillor, which could ultimately mean the council is run by a different party. You know, we may see people start to get engaged a bit more if they really feel like they can have more of an impact. But it is, you know, how do we increase participation? It's quite a big problem, and it's quite thorny, and we really need to sort of give it some collective thought. I think the ways that politics is sort of done and talked about means that we often focus on general elections and national politics. And actually, we do, unfortunately, tend to see local elections as a barometer, if you like, for wider national trends, which, you know, I don't think we can necessarily eliminate that. But I think trying to find ways of sort of shifting the focus of the discussion might help people to sort of see the value of local politics and local democracy. And then, you know, you might start to see rates of participation creeping up. But we do, you know, there is a whole sort of set of ideas and things that we need to start collating and investigating probably to address that problem.
Mm, absolutely. No, that's a really interesting response. Okay, so I'm going to end by asking you a question that cuts straight to the core of every local government advocate. And the question is, why do local elections matter? And you touched on it a little there.
They're really, really important because councils, local authorities just provide so much to people in their local areas. When you walk out of the door in the morning, you're just immediately using services and using things that the council provides, whether it's, you know, whether it's the roads, whether it's parks, you know, there'll be children's services, you know, all sorts of stuff is provided by local government. And local government is run by councillors who are elected. And it's really important for reasons that I sort of touched on a bit earlier, that, you know, that people are engaged in some of that process, that they understand a bit about that process, that they realise that they have some sway in how those decisions are made. And I think it's really vital. I also think it's really important, just a strong and vibrant local democracy is an important building block for democracy at, you know, bigger and bigger scales. And I think it's just really important to kind of keep that alive and keep it sort of functioning well and keep it healthy.
Definitely. That was brilliant.
That's really, really interesting. And I'm so glad you could kind of touch, zooming in on some of those, you know, what races, some of those interesting shifts, but also we could touch on some of those broader issues around elections and democracy more generally. So thank you so much for joining us today, Andrew. It was a delight as ever to have you with us.
Yes, thank you.
It was delightful. Thank you for having me.
Right, now it's time for our news segment, because Al Jiayu, we love keeping up with what's happening in the worldwide sector of local government.
Yes, and as we've said before, if you become an LGIU member, you can get access to our exclusive daily news service. This tailored newsletter is filled with local government updates and news stories, and it lands in your inbox at 6 a.m. every morning. What's not to love?
For now, here is a little taster of what's happening in the world of local government this week.
The headlines this week include that the City of Madrid's municipal street cleaning company has announced an AI pilot to detect rubbish improperly left outside of waste bins. Running across three neighborhoods in southern Madrid, AI sensors will be placed on the inspectors' vehicles. These sensors are equipped with machine learning algorithms and have been trained to recognize objects of a variety of sizes. So once overspilling waste is identified, the AI system will inform the nearest waste removal vehicle and assign it the task of picking up the bulk. So the tech claims to speed up the waste resolution process by 50%. That's 50%, with inspectors no longer having to keep an eye out for improperly placed trash.
Ooh, the future is here.
We're living in the future.
Okay, so the City of Seoul launched an anti-pollution seasonal management program back in 2019, which is an intensive program where strict pollution prevention measures are implemented between December and March every year. These include efforts to make construction sites more eco-friendly and enforcing a ban on certain gas-grade vehicles. Evidence this week shows that the program is working, as the city's fine particulate matter level has dropped by 37%, which is the lowest level since the initial launch. The Seoul Metropolitan Government also found that the number of days with good particulate matter levels has quadrupled.
New reforms have been proposed by the Western Australian government to standardize council meeting procedures when dealing with disorder and disruption. The government is currently seeking submissions on a consultation paper on whether mayors and council presidents should be able to use a three-strike system to gag disorderly council members and also have disorderly members of the public rejected. The state's local government minister, Hannah Beasley, says that it will eliminate the need for councils to develop their own laws and make it easier for the public to observe and participate in council meetings.
Maybe they should go to some of our training.
Yes. On. Yes, some of our training on chairing meeting training.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, last but not least, it's time to talk about what's coming up at LGIU. Simone, do you want to kick us off with what's coming up on the calendar?
Yes, so if Andrew's hooked you with all of his expertise on local elections, you can join us for our State of the Locals 2024 virtual panel discussion. Now, this is an event that we host every year, and it's hosted in tandem by us, LGIU, and Ipsos Mori. We'll be talking to political and local government experts about the local elections in England, but anyone's welcome to join us, and it's open and free to everyone. We're going to be featuring a couple of fantastic speakers, including the future friend of the pod, will be joining us someday, Dr. Hannah Bunting and Cameron Garrett. So they're going to share about the exclusive polling that's been done for LGIU, as well as issues around local elections like gender and representation. This one is a must attend for anybody looking to stay informed and up to date on the latest developments on English local elections. So absolutely register now and mark your calendar for the 23rd of April from 10 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. BST. We are keeping this one short and sweet.
Sounds really exciting. It's always such a good event.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And it's a really quick one. It's a really great way. We get folks from all over actually signing up to join us. So I can't wait. Freya, so tell us what's coming out on the website soon.
So coming up at LGIU, we are covering a range of great topics, as always, in our weekly newsletter called Global Local. This includes looking at the modern role of libraries, the behind the scenes of electoral administration, and the future of sustainable and affordable housing. For our members, we'll of course be releasing plenty of exclusive content. For our UK readers, we'll be looking at the needs of rural schools. Over in Australia, we've got some great content on CEO recruitment. And for our Irish audience, we're breaking down part 6, 7 and 8 of the Mighty Housing and Development Bill as the latest in our series overviewing the implications of this bill for local government. If any of that, or hopefully all of that, interests you, then come and find us at lgiu.org to get signed up and inquire about membership.
I'm really interested in those parts 6, 7 and 8 of that housing development bill. I don't know about you, Freya.
Oh, it's a beast. It's like a... But that's what we're here for, to consolidate it into something more manageable and tangible for local government.
Yeah, we love it. A more digestible housing bill. All right, well, before we move on, I wanted to just share a quick plug for Councillor Awards. If anybody hasn't submitted their nomination yet, please, please do. We've already got some great ones coming in, but we are also, in addition to collecting those nominations, we're sharing some stories of really great winners from last year's Councillor Awards. We just shared one, which was an in-depth interview that I got to do with Councillor Hannah Perkin, who is our community champion in England and Wales last year. And there is an in-depth written article if that's your cup of tea, or we've got the whole thing on video ready for you to watch. So check out the show notes, watch that interview, and then submit a nomination for a councillor that you know is doing great work.
Yes, do it. We're getting so many good submissions in, but I know there are so many more to come. It's so exciting.
All right, that's it for now, everyone. As always, thanks for joining us. And if you want more from the LGIU, in the meantime, come find us at lgiu.org, where you can see everything we just spoke about and more.
Yes, this is really just a drop in the ocean of local government information and resources that we have available. So if you work in local government or just love local democracy, then come and join us and our community.
See you next time.